I would like to do the invitation tonight on a parable. And this is the parable of the wicked tenant farmers that Jesus gave before some of the high priests of the some of the elders. And to get in the context of this parable, I would like for you to turn to Matthew 21, and the parable itself is 33 through 46. But before we read the parable, let's get in context and look who is he speaking to. It's always good to know the audience that Jesus is speaking to. So in verse 23 of chapter of Matthew 21, it says, "And when he had come into the temple," this is Jesus, "the chief priest and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?'" So the context here is Jesus is challenged by the chief priests and the elders at that time. And they are challenging his authority. And he answers them in such a wise way about, well, is the baptism of John from heaven or from men? And they were caught in a dilemma. They were caught in their own trap that they were trying to trap Jesus in. And they says, "Well, if you won't tell me, I'm not going to tell you." So he left them speechless. And then he goes in. So this is the audience. And then he talks about another short parable about disobedient and obedient sons, how one decided to go after the other one didn't want to go but did, and the one that didn't want to go or did want to go didn't. And so he is describing this short parable to them. And so Jesus is really pushing pushing their thinking on who is really obedient in the kingdom. And then he comes to this parable of the wicked tenant farmers. And I'm going to read a couple of verses at the time, and we'll stop and make comment on that. So down in verse 33 and 34, here's the parable. "And listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, and rented it out to the growers, and went away on a journey." Now, I want to look at that one verse. This is a turnkey operation. This owner planted a garden, a vineyard. That's no easy task. Build a wall around it to keep predators out and from getting in, and to keep other people from maybe getting in. He dug a wine press, how to process the fruit. He dug a tower for protection and for seeing who might be trying to get in. I mean, this thing is, everything is completely prepared to make a profit here. And then in 34, "And when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce." Okay, as we start making a connection here with this vineyard, this grape vineyard, start thinking about that is the nation of Israel. Put that down as this connection that Jesus is making. And as he made this vineyard in the parable so complete, so good, so he did for Israel. He brought Israel out of Egypt. He established them. He gave them the law. He protected them. He did everything for Israel. And it was time that he received some of his produce or some of his return. And he wants to receive the fruit of his labor, a return on his investment. So look at verse 35 and 36. And the vine growers took his slaves and beat one, and killed another, and stoned a third. And again he went to another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. So he had sent his slaves to gather in the produce, and they beat the slaves that had come. And he sent a second delegation to, and they killed some of those and beat them and stoned some. Who do you think he's referring to here? Wouldn't this be the prophets who had come to Israel to help to help their righteous Israel's righteousness to God? That's what God wants, is his worship. And not idol worship, but he wants the fruit of Israel's love. And he sends the prophets to get it, and they destroy them or treat them terribly. So look at verse 37 through 39. But when the 37, and afterwards he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Big question here. Who is the son? I think we can surely, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They killed him. And an interesting thought here. Jesus is making this parable about the son is going to be killed. He's making this parable talking about himself, that was what was going to happen. He's relating this to himself in some ways. And so then he asked this question in 40 and 41. Therefore, this is Jesus talking. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what shall he do to those growers? And look what they say, the elders and the chief priests. And they said to him, he will bring those wretched to a wretched end, and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers, who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. Here, he asked this question, and wouldn't it be ironic that they are the ones that said they should come to a wretched end? And isn't that what happened some years later after Jesus, the destruction of Jerusalem? Weren't they, the Jews, had come to a wretched end? It's almost like they made a prophecy upon themselves. But look what happens. He says in the verse part of 41, and the growers will come to end and will rent out the vineyard to the other vine growers, who will pay him the proceeds at proper seasons. He's going to, after they're gone, he's going to rent out the vine, the vineyard to other vine growers that will pay him his proper due, that will pay him the produce, to pay him on his investment. You know who those other vine growers are? It's us. We're the Gentiles. That's who was going to take over the garden or the vineyard. That's us today. So I want to take this a little farther as us being the vine growers and giving God His due, His reward. Are we giving God what's due Him? Oh, I can make a list, you know. Are we giving financially like we should? Are we visiting others? Are we caring for the sick as we should? Are we teaching others? That's just a list. But it's more than that. God wants us to give Him our whole lives. That's what He wants from us. This is His reward. This is His, might say, payment. That we give Him our whole lives. You know what will happen if we do that? All those things I mentioned on the list would come naturally that we would want to do those things. So, it is the opportunity for us to evaluate how we are giving to God His just payment, His just due, His first fruits. And if you're not a Christian, you know what you should do? Give your whole life to God. And you will be one of those in the vineyard of the Lord. And by doing that, you can have the opportunity for eternal life. God wants us to be with Him forever. He wants us to be like Him. And so, let's, at this time, if it appeals to you to give your complete life to God, do that now as we stand and sing.